Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Thursday, October 3rd. I'm Ray Graff. Today was supposed to be computers and tech. We had a late scratch on our guest. And now it's an open forum on today's show. Haven't done one of these in a few years. Earlier today, during the lockbox segments of the roundtable panels, we asked listeners to tell us the biggest issue that is driving them to the ballot box this November, the topic that is number one most important to them. Today on the show, we will open the phones and continue that conversation. The number is 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. What's that number one issue for you this election season? We'll find out after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's an open forum today. Earlier during the lockbox segments of the roundtable panel, we asked people who pledged to tell us the biggest issue that is driving them to the ballot box this season, the topic that is number one on their list of items important to them when they cast a vote. Today on Vox Pop, we'll open the phones, we'll continue the chat. We also welcome roundtable host Joe Donahue to join the conversation. Give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or feel free to email us at voxpop@wamc.org. voxpop@wamc.org with your email, or 800-348-2551. And Joe Donahue, just for today, we will have our fund drive people monitoring the lockbox. So if you make a pledge at wamc.org during this program and you leave a comment with your top issue for voting, they'll bring them in and we'll read them, yeah?
Excellent.
Yeah, it's good. And you had a lot of people who actually emailed the program. In addition, I have the stats from when Sarah and I were pitching during your show, but you also had a lot of emails that people wrote in answering that question.
That's right. A lot of people wanted to kind of put their voice in and say what they thought. And the big one for us, I think, was the same one that you got, which was about democracy.
Yep.
And saving democracy and the importance of democracy, and that was going to be the issue that they really wanted. We got one or two on the Supreme Court, and we also got quite a few about that, just about women's rights and that the American public are becoming brainwashed. I don't know how you extrapolate that into this is an issue that gets me to the polls necessarily.
Right.
But a concern that certainly is getting them interested in the political process.
Well, yeah. We took, I think, maybe 40 comments today with pledges. And the clear one that was at the top of the list was democracy, saving democracy, LGBTQ, reproductive rights, women's rights. That was, I think, second. Interestingly, economy, we only had one person say the economy and inflation was important. There was a Pew Research poll that came out, I want to say September 9th or 10th, something like that. Economy was number one. 81% of all voters, and that includes Harris supporters and Trump supporters, said that was the big one. Healthcare was number two. Supreme Court appointments was number three. Way down the list, the bottom of the list on the Pew Research poll was climate change. Only 37% of voters who were surveyed here said that. And I thought that was interesting.
Now, when the campaigns talk, they will often say that, obviously, on the Republican side, the number one issue that they speak about and speak to is immigration. And the economy,
yeah,
of course, and those are issues that are mentioned on the Democratic side as well. But of course, abortion is a huge issue on the Democratic side, and democracy, as we mentioned before.
It's very interesting. Abortion, yes, bigger issue for Harris supporters at 67%. Again, according to this Pew survey. Looks like 35% for Trump supporters, but still the average 51%, not nearly what the economy is for both. So I thought this was interesting. Our listeners, again, have a slightly different view, and we're going to take plenty of calls today. 800-348-2551. Amber, our fund drive director, will be bringing us any comments that come in. If you make a pledge at WAMC.org, we will read your preference for your number one voting issue this year. Also want to thank Anne-Marie of South Egremont, Massachusetts. See, everything morphs into a fund drive. Anne-Marie in South Egremont, Massachusetts. New members, Charles in Beacon, New York, and Anonymous in Hunter, New York. As of 1:59 p.m., we're at $291,205 in the lockbox.
Had a great morning this morning. Congratulations.
It was great.
To you and Sarah and the whole team. It was really an incredible group and credible coming together, and yeah, both challenges met, so let's go.
Well, you ready to go to the phones?
All right,
the number here is 800-348-2551. You can email us as well at voxpop@wamc.org, or you can make a pledge at wamc.org and put your top voting issue right there when you make your pledge. Let's start out in Schenectady. It's our friend Joan. Hello, Joan.
Hello, Ray, and hello, Joe.
Hello.
Hello. I'm delighted that you guys are shortening our fund drive as much as you are. I've been glued to the radio.
Well,
I guess I'm a fund drive junkie.
You are a fund drive junkie, and we'll probably see you in a couple of weeks, yeah?
I'm jealous of the people who are already there.
Oh,
I know.
Okay.
What can I say?
Fair enough.
Now, my topic is just the meta topic itself, the importance of the vote. I want to give a shout out to my late mom and dad, Jack and Millie Tarian. They wouldn't even tell me who they were voting for when I was a single-digit child. But we watched them dressing up to go vote. And we learned, as young as possible, it's such an important right. And it is a private ballot. Talk about it if you want, just vote.
Yeah.
That's my topic.
I think that's a great topic, Joan. What do you think, Joe?
Absolutely, and I think of that the generation. I think my parents were similar in the sense of they talked about it a little bit more because they were all on the same page and came from similar backgrounds, but.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but as far as the I smiled when you said dressing up because yes, it was a big day in the house when you went out on election day.
All right, Joan, thanks a lot for the call. It's Vox Pop today. What's your number one issue for voting this year? 800-348-2551. We have Joe Donahue in studio with us, because he's just not busy enough. He's here with us. So thank you for that. Let's go to Tom in Pittsfield. Tom, you're on.
Hello. Howdy, fellas.
Hey.
My number one topic is the Supreme Court, because if the Supreme Court continues to strip rights and of our citizens and protect politicians such as Trump, who's clearly violating the spirit of so many laws, if not the laws, and so it's so important that we do not allow more to join that ignoble clan on the court.
So you're in favor then of expanding the court, Tom?
No, I am not. What I'm saying is that the vote for president will be the biggest vote for determining the Supreme Court, the balance of the Supreme Court or the imbalance. So not to increase it, it's just to make sure that those who are coming out of the court will then be replaced by people who are more moderate.
Joe,
do you have an interest in I'm interested in what you thought of the proposals put forward by the Biden administration of revamping the court, and is that something that you're interested in, or is it limited to what you just mentioned of who will be making the selections using the process that we've used for 200 years?
Well, I think that lifetime appointments could definitely be considered, reconsidered. Expanding the court number, as I said, I'm not really into that. I think we shouldn't do that. It's a sort of a game. And I don't think that the other half of this equation, this democracy we have, needs to play that particular game. We can just do it through the vote. And this is, we elect Trump, we will get more conservative justices, and then the whole thing tilts even further, and it snowballs as it's going down the path of anti-democracy.
All right, Tom, thank you for the call. Go ahead, Joe.
Susan wrote in earlier this morning to the panel and said, I know you're preaching to the choir, but I think we need to spend so much more attention on the importance of the Supreme Court and how much the Supreme Court guides our future. And we need to look at every turn how the election impacts that. That from Susan.
Let's take a break here. 800-348-2551 if you want to join this conversation today. Joe Donahue has joined us, for Pete's sake, so you might as well as well. The number is 800-348-2551. What's that big issue that is driving you to the ballot box? We'll be back. Hey, folks, thank you, thank you, thank you. A beautiful, brilliant morning from everybody who pitched in today as we raised some money around the roundtable panel this morning. A great deal of money was raised, and thank you if you stepped in. Just a reminder, you can do it right now at WAMC.org, WAMC.org, and you could let us know what your top issue is this election season, and we'll read it here. A couple of emails in the meantime. Number is 800-348-2551. Mary writes, the biggest voting issue for me is the continuation of our democracy and respecting the rule of law. This is most important for me to continue to work for a working democracy. If we get that, my next biggest issue is campaign finance reform. And that's from Mary. So many came in during the panel today. So why don't you have at it, Joe?
This one came in from Jay. It says, dear panel, the biggest issue for the next president to solve is disposable personal income. In 2023, $21.7 trillion and total tax revenue collected, $4.7 trillion. Corporation tax collected in 2023, $441.6 billion. If everyone paid their fair share of income tax, including corporations who compete with us for our resources like roads, water, electricity, et cetera, we could begin to balance our budget, which is so important.
Hmm. The number here is 800-348-2551. Anything else you want to read from this morning?
We got one from Catherine as well. My greatest concern is that the American public once again will give in to their brainwashed belief that a woman is not capable to be president of the United States.
All right, let's go back to our phone lines, and it's Chris in Housatonic. Chris, you're on.
Yeah, Chris, Ray and Jay. My concern is the country is in its worst worst economic thing.
Chris, stand by for a second. Can you turn your radio down just a little bit? The veins in Zach the engineer's head are starting to pop out. All right, we'll just wait.
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay.
I go into the store, Ray and Jay, and I see the prices on food, gas, and everything going skyrocketed in this country. And I'm a sole Republican. I like the way Donald Trump has been talking at his rallies and stuff like this. And he said in one of his rallies that we were better off 4 years ago. And my real number one concern is, Ray, is the borders.
So immigration is number one for you, followed by economy, right, Chris?
Yes, it is.
All right, man. Hey, thank
you. Look, what's wrong with this country is the fentanyl coming across the borders.
Okay.
Is, as upsetting and ridiculous.
All right, so drugs will be third. Chris, thank you very much for the call. Jay, what do you think of that?
Well, you can call me Jay. You can call me Ray. You can
Doesn't have to call me Johnny. Right.
No, that's right. You know, I do think the third point being about
fentanyl
and drugs in the country that we had Arlie Hochschild on for the
today
special program this morning, and how that drug, how other drugs have just destroyed much of rural America, and specifically in the area she was looking at in Appalachia, is just stunning and troubling and certainly understandable.
Well,
why people would feel that way.
The number here is 800-348-2551. Ray Graff today, joined by the Roundtable's Joe Donahue, and we're talking to our listeners today about the most important issues they find before they hit the election box this year, or the ballot box, or the mail-in ballot, or however you kids do it nowadays. And if you want to, we would love it if you made a pledge at WAMC.org. You can register your comment for this conversation that way, WAMC.org. The Fun Drive people will bring the sheet in, and I'll read it on the air. Let's go on the Northway now. Hopefully she's hands-free. It's Bridget. You're on.
Hi, and I've made it past the Northway, and I'm headed down the thruway. I'm on my way to see my child this weekend.
Cool.
And while we have many massive issues facing us that have been mentioned, the biggest thing I want everyone to remember is local elections still count. And in my case, I will say that nothing has more directly impacted and harmed my personal family and household than family court. If you don't know your family court and their family values, or if they even have family values, then you need to remember that a family court judge has more power over the future of your child than you do as a parent, especially with divorce so prevalent in our world. So there you have it.
That is so interesting.
Family values. Yeah, well, hey, I'm a mother of 31 years, and I was a single parent for 12 before somebody sued me for custody and managed to win.
Oh,
well. So there you have it. And I cleared $30,000 this year for the first time because, as a mother, I have always prioritized my family. I have deferred professional opportunities, and I live within my budget, and I own my own home, and I own my own car, and I'm not afraid of anything.
Well, Bridget,
I can make my bills, and I still have to support my ex now that he has our child.
Ouch. Okay, well, listen, that's another show, but Bridget, thank you for that, and that's a great call. Appreciate it very much. 800-348-2551. Ray Graff and Jay Donahue on the program today. I like that Jay thing. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I hope it catches
on. Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, I do. I take the point, though, because we talk about what will get you to the ballot box, and as you look at a presidential election, you think that that's going to be it. But certainly in congressional races that are tight in the region and beyond, Senate races, local races, I mean, obviously, those get you there, too. They have their own set of issues, of whatever the issue is for that. And maybe it's as simple as changing the party of the person who is in charge, or a specific issue, as the last caller was just mentioning.
You know, I find it interesting that local elections are so important, right? And it's often kind of under the radar for most people. Many people don't know who's running, let alone who they'll vote for in their town elections. I'm not saying everybody. Our listeners are a little smarter than most in most cases. But a lot of times you just go in, you flick the ballot according to party.
Right. And if you spend time, I have people in my life who are local officials, and they will tell you that people get and I use this term lovingly, but as worked up over the new snowplow or how much you're going to spend on fire services,
yeah,
or if you're going to get the new school bus, those are issues that are going to get you to the polls and that are going to make you a voter and perhaps an informed voter and to know who is running. And so, yeah, that's really important, not only to know who is at the top of the ticket, but who's down ballot as well.
800-348-2551 if you want to join the conversation. We'll go to Coleraine, Massachusetts. Andy, you're on.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I want to say I love having both you guys together. I love this show.
Well, thanks.
Thank you.
My main reason for calling, when you're talking about the main reason you're going to vote, you know, I'm from Massachusetts, and I hate to say it, but I don't feel like my vote counts for the presidency. So my main reason is the local voting, which you were just talking about.
Yeah.
But as I was waiting and listening to that last guy, I'll try to be to the point on this.
Okay.
We have people locally that, you know, oh, this is the worst ever. I can't wait for Trump to get back in there, in their own business, and never had it so bad. My wife and I are both self-employed. We're doing fine. I mean, yeah, prices are up on some stuff, but they're not crazy like people say they are. All this stuff that's driving people to think and say this stuff, I don't know. But Trump's got to go, man.
Well, we'll see.
If you're going to the ballots, you know, democracy is too big a thing, because that's either that or everything he's going to do if he gets in there.
All right. And so you have weathered the storm as independent business owner. You have weathered the storm of the COVID and everything else.
Both of us have. My wife was out of work for a year with COVID. She's a massage therapist, and that drove her a little crazy, but...
Well, I hope you got some free massages out of it. Yeah. Hey, Andy, thanks a lot for the call. Appreciate it. 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. What's your top election issue this year? We want to know. Joe Donahue is here from the Roundtable panel. They got a lot of... It's kind of my fault. When we were pitching today, I said, hey, listen, when you make your pledge, let us know what your biggest issue is election. And many people did that. I think we had 40 or maybe a little more than that pledges that came in with those comments. And also a lot of emails to the roundtable this morning as well. Anything else you want to read from the panel?
I will. You know, one that came up that I thought was also very interesting, it was the issue of school safety. And while the word guns was not used specifically, that was one that came up. And the listener said that the voting record of the candidates in regards to guns would be very important to them, not to guns, but to school safety.
Yep.
And so you extrapolate that to guns. Obviously, there are many other issues there. And so I think that's important. And we also got another letter, too, about... And this was brought up in the vice presidential debate on Tuesday night and was a major topic, but that is of affordable housing in our communities. And while this listener, Carol, mentioned that, she said, this is a top issue for me, not my at the top issue, but certainly one of the top issues that I'm very concerned about.
You know, it's funny, housing didn't come up on the list of, and it was a short list. Basically, 40 pledges came attached with these comments. So it's a small sample size. Not one talked about housing or drugs. Very interesting. And immigration didn't come up on our list either. So, you know, it's a small sample. It is a targeted sample out there across America. It is a wide variety of people who are, A, very strong on the Second Amendment, B, strong on, tighter immigration and things like that. So we're in the Northeast. It is a limited sample size here, and we'll go back to our phone lines here. Who's been waiting longest? Looks like Northampton. Adam, you're on.
Hi. I really would like to address what I think is the only existential issue that's kind of on the ballot, which is climate change. If you looked at the damage in every single way from the likely expansion of Helen or Helene, and that was a separate issue like immigration or foreign interference or something else, this would be an all hands on deck moment, and nobody would talk about anything else. And it's a national security issue. It's an economic issue. It's a equity issue. But I feel that people do not talk enough about it at all.
I mean, I think it's interesting that in this Pew Research poll from September 9th, climate change was a top issue for 62% of Harris supporters and 11% of Trump supporters. Even 62% is fairly low, don't you think, Adam?
Yes. I mean, you know, to me, we're either going to start to deal with this now, even though it's far, far too late, right, or the consequences are going to be, I mean, people I know that live in Vermont were affected by Irene and then another storm more recently and then yet another storm now. And everybody said that they thought that they were safe. And the people in North Carolina are saying that they thought that they were safe. And, you know, Big Bend has been hit, I think, twice in the past few years.
Yeah.
And we really have to come to a realization that climate change, the crisis is now, but the coming crisis, like much of all of Seaport in Boston is supposed to be underwater, certainly within 20 years.
Within 20 years. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Seaport in Boston is experiencing sunny day flooding now.
Okay. All right, Adam, thanks a lot. We'll move it along. 800-348-2551. Joe.
One thing I think is funny interesting when you look at the numbers is from the Pew study and others that while the breakdown is more Democrats than Republicans, when you break it out by age, it's actually older Americans who are more concerned about the climate than it is younger voters, which sort of goes against what I think many of us think, that since, you know, we screwed up the planet, that maybe the young people would try to change it and make it better. But but that doesn't seem to hold as much. And
so
issues.
To what do you attribute this?
Well, I think it's probably, I have no idea. My guess would be out of sight, out of mind. And just an overall looking at what is right in front of you, because, again, it's not a major topic that is discussed. We've been warned about the climate for decades, and yet when's the last time you remember it being the major issue of a presidential campaign?
I think you make a point. By the way, how does it feel to be a panelist on a show?
It's very odd.
It is odd. I bet.
Yeah, it's very odd.
Right, let's see. Let's go to
The View. It's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think you can ever say that in Studio A. I like The View. Let's go to Steve in Albany. Steve, you're on. Interesting.
Hello, Steve.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hello.
I think one of the things that Adam mentioned was the interconnection of a lot of these issues right at the beginning of his comments, and I think the economy is a critical issue. We certainly have a very regressive taxing system in this country. I think the Harris campaign has laid out a vision on taxes, which is very positive. I'm not quite sure on the spending side. We have a tremendous amount of debt in this country. We're paying more in interest than we do for the defense of this country right now. And that's obviously an unsustainable course.
Interesting. Well, I think you make a great point, and I'll let you follow up very quickly, and then we have to take a break here, and we'll get a comment from Joe. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, the other issue that I think is tied to the economy is Social Security. Obviously, I haven't heard much from either of the major party candidates on Social Security in this cycle. It's something that's going to have to be dealt with very soon. Obviously, starting to apply payroll taxes for people in the higher income brackets would be at least a down payment on taking care of the problem.
All right, Joe, before we take a break, you want to comment on that?
I think it's interesting. This is just another one of those issues of Social Security that I remember my parents being concerned about in the 80s, and that by the time they got ready to retire, that their Social Security wouldn't be there. Now they're dead and gone, and I think we still have the same, I don't know about you, Ray, I mean, I In my sarcastic moments or where I'm bitter, I'll just say, oh, you know, I'm pretty sure we won't have that when we get ready to retire. I hope that's not the case, but you do wonder.
Well, you certainly wonder, and I'm certainly counting the days until I get my full amount. And let's take a break. 800-348-2551. That's the number. 800-348-2551. Some relaxing, soothing music. Yeah, we'll be back, or maybe we won't. It's very relaxed. Yeah.
Very nice.
All right, it's Vox Pop. It's Ray Graff, along with Joe Donahue today from the Roundtable and the Roundtable panel this morning. We've been having some special panels and raising money around those panels to fill our lockbox. We did spectacularly well. And when I say we, I mean all of our listeners, all the family. Everybody stepped up. I don't know how much we raised today, but it was a good day. If you would like to pitch in here, WAMC.org. I'm not going to give the phone number because this is a call-in show, and then it gets really confusing. So if you want to make a pledge right now, WAMC.org. And please feel free to leave in the comments what you think is the biggest issue affecting voters, or should be anyway, going into this election season. A couple of emails here, and this one is from James. My number one issue for this election is to stop the MAGA movement in its tracks. The MAGA movement can be described as the unholy alliance between the liars and those who want to be lied to. Everything that comes out of Trump's mouth is a lie. He says anything that his base wants to hear just so he can get their votes. He has no intention of delivering on his promises. He is beneath contempt, and that is James.
I'd want to just, you mentioned the panels and the special roundtable panels. We have one tomorrow that I'm very proud of that I hope people will listen to.
What's that?
Marty Baron, who is a longtime journalist and newspaper editor. He ran the newsrooms of the Miami Herald, the Boston Globe. If you've seen the movie Spotlight, he was the executive editor and the man behind the Spotlight investigation of the Catholic Church's cover-up of sexual abuse by clergy. And then went to the Washington Post, and he's going to be with us. Not only is he going to be talking, he has a book called Collision of Power, but we'll be talking about journalism, the state of journalism, and who better to have with us than three incredible journalists that are always the regulars on our panel, Judy Patrick, Mike Spain, and Jay Jochnowitz.
Uh-huh.
So it'll be a really interesting discussion, and I'm very much looking forward to the conversation with Marty Baron coming up a little after 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.
That's it. You know, you've been hitting it out of the park. You and Sarah LaDuke have been putting together some great roundtables, and so keep up the good work. This one's from Andrew. Taxing the billionaires. It's time that we stand up and make sure the ultra-wealthy pay their fair share of taxes. We pay a lot for our military to protect their wealth and way of life, make them pay for it. I cannot trust a billionaire in office who stacks their cabinet with more billionaires and tries to relate to the middle and lower class. It's weird. That's from Andrew. There's a lot of weird going around, Andrew, I'll tell you that. Let's go to Sheffield, and Sandy, you're on.
Hi there, gentlemen.
Hi.
I think my biggest issue is that we need to kind of level the playing field. It's not just with presidential elections. I have a personal stake in the congressional district in Massachusetts. So my friend Nadia is running against Richard Neal, who's been in there way too long. And we have almost 2.5 times independent voters to his Democratic. In order to get the word out there, we have to spend money like that we don't have. He has a coffer. He doesn't have, I mean, he's established. So getting her name out there, getting her face out there, is so much more difficult. And I feel personally that corporations that are had in the pockets of these politicians, it either needs to be stopped or people need to follow maybe what other countries do, which gives equal time on TV, radio to everyone. There's no favoritism.
All right. Joe, you want to comment on that?
I just want to say it's a fascinating race and one that I'm greatly interested in. The Naomi, is it Millerin? Is that the correct pronunciation?
I'm sorry. What did you say?
Is the correct pronunciation of her last name Millerin?
Or Millerin, yep.
Yeah. And Ralph Nader's niece, and great tragedy in her life. And there was a New York Times piece from about 3 or 4 days ago about exactly what Sandy is talking about and the uphill fight for Congress in that particular district. It's a really interesting piece about a very interesting woman running for Congress.
Sandy, thanks a lot for the call. The number here is 800-348-2551. And if you want to make a pledge, go to wamc.org. You can leave your comment for this program right there. Nate writes in, I'm a Republican backing up Trump. My biggest issue is censorship. I'm sick of the censorship. We need to fix that. And another one is the migrants. We need to stop worrying about our We need to start worrying about our own country. That makes more sense. And that was not a typo. That was me. Nate, thank you for that one. Let's go to Adams, Massachusetts. Jim, you're on. Jim is gone. That's all right. Well said. Let's go to Plattsburgh. Phil.
How you doing?
Good.
This is a great forum.
Thanks.
My issue is saving our democracy. But everything else is secondary. If we don't do that, you know, first and foremost, then everything else doesn't matter. I mean, between the Project 2025, some of the things that are in that, as well as the fact that so many intelligence officials and defense officials, both Republican and Democrat, have come out and said that Trump is just a danger to our way of life. And our democracy, people need to look at that and take that seriously.
So in your view then, Phil, if you vote Trump out, democracy is saved?
Well, I'm not going to say it's safe because there's an awful lot of people in Congress that are following in his footsteps. Unfortunately, we have a congresswoman up here in Clinton County that is in lockstep with his beliefs, which is problematic. With regards to one of your previous callers, when she was saying about leveling the playing field, I mean, Elise Stefanik won't even debate anybody that's running up against her because that way she doesn't have to answer to the voters up here. So it's not just the presidency, but it has to start there. And hopefully if he is not voted back in for another term, then others may see that it's just not going to work.
All right, Phil, thank you very much for the call. This came in via a pledge at WAMC.org from Karen and Les in Woodstock. Their comments, we're voting out of fear and loathing. I bet you can guess which candidate we're talking about. I didn't know Gus Hall was running. Oh, no, it's not Gus Hall. Also, we'd love to see a woman president before we depart this earthly realm. Love WAMC, and that's from Karen and Les. And Karen and Les, thanks for the comment. And thank you for the pledge. Much appreciated. You can do that, too, at WAMC.org. Any other emails come into the panel that interested you enough to get on this show?
No.
All right. Well, you know what? I like the concise answer. We'll
They're still coming in, I should add.
Really?
If that changes, I'll let you know.
Well, come on, folks. Make a pledge instead. Don't write the panel. Go to WAMC.org.
Don't short-circuit the system.
Let's go to Jim in Massachusetts. Jim, you're on.
Yes. Abortion is the main issue. We live in a planet that has 8 billion people in it, and it's only built for 2.5 billion max. And the FBI put out a report in the early 70s that said the crime rate was going to go up, but after the abortion ruling, Roe versus Wade, the crime rate went down. we are an invasive species, and we are getting overpopulated.
Now, no offense, Jim. I'm sure you're a good fellow, but you sound like someone who might be into eugenics. I mean, if you say we want to limit the population for limiting crime, that seems like social engineering, and it might be a little scary, don't you think?
No, it's like 8 billion people are polluting the planet. We are overpopulated, way overpopulated, and it's out of control.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Joe, you want to comment on that?
I mean, I find it interesting that the call was labeled as an abortion call as opposed to
overpopulation
or also just climate issues and what our planet can withstand and dealing with those problems.
Aiden writes in, I think congressional term limits should be a consideration among more of the top priorities that have been talked about. Also, what are your thoughts on ranked choice voting? I'm not going to give you my thoughts on anything because I'm the host of the show. If you want to call in and tell us what your thoughts are on ranked choice voting and term limits, love to hear them. Joe, anything you want to say about that?
I'll just say that as a host like you, Ray, that this always comes up as sort of one thing that can be done to improve democracy in our country. And then we have a fairly vibrant discussion about ranked choice voting, and then it turns around to people telling you all the reason of why it hasn't worked here, and here, and then you're sort of back at the beginning again.
Yeah, I gotcha. All right, let's go to James in Hudson. James, you're on.
Hi. Hold on.
Hey, how are you?
All right, hold on.
Taking you off speaker.
Thank you for doing that, James. Appreciate it.
You've been trained.
I love it.
Oh, I try. So the first guy that called in, I think one of the first people, Chris, I think his name is Chris. He was like a Trumper, and he like, I don't know what universe he's living in. Crime is down. Inflation is getting steady. It's the price of living is still too high for most people on a fixed income, which I am on. The Trump hysteria is ridiculous. It just doesn't make sense if you actually live in the real world. It's just silly. And I'm voting for democracy, and so that we have the rule of law and not the law of rule. Thank you.
Interesting. James, thanks a lot for the call. Which great founding father? Was it Thomas Paine who said, in the king is the... Hang on. What do you say? The law. The king is law in England. In America, law is king.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was Thomas Paine or Thomas. Some Thomas said that. It was a long time ago that I learned it. Somebody named Thomas. Thomas Aquinas.
Was Thomas Paine.
I don't. Was it?
Let a crown be placed thereon by which the world may know that so far as we approve of monarchy, that in America the law is king, for is an absolute government, the king is law.
I like it. Dennis, you're on. You got to follow that with something very pithy. Go ahead.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I don't even know how to follow that up, but
goodbye.
Pithy I'm not.
Okay, go ahead.
thank you for taking my call. I just want to say... You know, in the history of America, we've always done better when we've had aspirational leaders, when we've had leaders who talk about big issues, have a big vision, and sort of push us to be our better selves. And that's why I'm voting for Kamala Harris this year, because, I don't see that on the other side. The other guy, he talks down about America. Everything's bad about America. We can't do anything right here. Our crime is up when it's not. Inflation is up when it's coming down. The economy's horrible when many of us who are involved in business know that's not the case.
Yeah.
And, you know, we need an aspirational leader. You know, JFK sent us to the moon, you know, Teddy Roosevelt, even someone I didn't really agree with philosophically, Ronald Reagan had a vision for America and made us feel better and made us feel proud to be Americans. And if you travel anywhere in the world right now, you don't feel proud to be an American when you go around, because we had a leader for 4 years. Well, especially a few years ago, who talked negatively about our country. And that's what I'm looking for. I want someone in office who's going to have a vision, who's going to speak positively about America, who's going to bring us together, because you can't run this country if half the people that you're governing feel left out and feel like they're the enemy. You have to bring people together, and he's not the guy that's going
to
do it.
And do you think Kamala is the one to do it?
Well, I think by all accounts, by everything she's been doing, everything she's been saying, you know, she's speaking positively. She wants to bring people together. She's reached out. She has Republicans supporting her. Yeah, I do, Ray. I do. And so do I agree with her 100% on everything she's done? No. But I want to have an aspirational leader in office. I don't want someone who's going to be talking down about half the country for the next 4 years.
I think that's just a very interesting point.
That's not who we are.
Joe, what do you think?
Well, I think the two things, one about aspirational and the other about being, you know, having a large aspirational goal of talking about Kennedy, as the caller mentioned early on. But certainly the idea of a more positive agenda, an agenda that is one of what we can do right as opposed to what we're doing wrong. And I mean, those are different. That's the glass half full, glass empty, right? We all know people in our lives, and it's what appeals, what's going to appeal to people. I do agree. I think that you watch a typical rally of Kamala Harris, and it is going to be much more upbeat than that of a Trump rally. But you could also argue that one is of, because it's of the most concern and of great concern and of worry, and that we have to take action quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was a great point, though. A little positivity from all parties would be pretty wonderful.
Well, I think that's what, I mean, we saw that at the beginning of the Kamala Harris campaign. I think we saw it in the first days of the talking about running on joy. And we certainly saw it during the convention. And I think we still see it to some extent. I mean, is some of it smoke and mirrors? Sure. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if you're ever going to get really positive when you're talking about issues and public policy. However, I do think that it is appealing to many voters who feel that they're underwater to realize that there is some hope.
Okay, let's go to, this is probably the last one. Barbara has been waiting a half an hour. Barbara in Ballston Lake, go ahead.
Hi there. Thanks, fellas, for putting this on.
You bet.
I have a couple comments, and one of those is based on the economy. We've raised people's income. We've taken away a lot of farm territory and turned it into housing. And a lot of it, I have to say, looks like luxury housing to me. It is not listed as affordable, although I have seen some listed at 500,000 plus saying affordable housing. I'm not sure who that is.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Because
yeah.
If I sold my house, I was not going to get 500,000 to go buy another house.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a lot with the economy that had to do with COVID. And that part of it is not necessarily changed. Then we go to the health issues, and we've got a ton of nurses, of which I'm one, but I've been retired a long time, who have had to leave because they were so overloaded, so overwhelmed, they physically and mentally couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
We've done the same with doctors. And I think that we need to start looking at what's reality instead of what is being thrown at us as an economy that's out of whack.
Well,
when you don't have farmers to produce the food, it's going to cost more.
Hey, Barbara, we got to leave it there, but thank you very much for the call. Joe Donahue, very quickly, what is coming up tomorrow on the panel?
Coming up tomorrow, Marty Baron, the former editor of the Washington Post and the Boston Globe, will be with our journalism superstars, Judy Patrick, Mike Spain, and Jay Jochnowitz, and we'll be talking about the state of journalism, and will be raising money for WAMC.
So I got a feeling
Sarah
I'll
will
see
be.
You.
We'll be right across the glass.
Hey, man, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
Support comes from Capital Roots, working to provide healthy food access with dignity for all Capital Region residents while supporting area farms and businesses. Grow, educate, provide. CapitalRoots.org. At Chesterwood, the Gilded Age home and studio of sculptor Daniel Chester French in Stockbridge, presenting Three Ways Through Fire, ceramics by Anne Farrell, Ingrid Rabb, and Nina Ryan, opening reception October 5th, chesterwood.org. Again, thanks to everybody who pledged today. The lockbox is singing right now, and we're going to make it sing tomorrow, an even higher note, and we'll see you for that. Zach Malloy was our engineer today. Thanks, Zachy. And Susie Checkeye screened the calls. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow it's Food Friday. Our pal Amy Halloran will join us. She really likes flour. We'll have flour power, and we'll see you too.